Isaiah chapter 3, for behold, the Lord Yahweh of armies will take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the staff and the whole stay of bread and water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the elder, the captain of 50 and the honourable man and the counsellor and the expert worker and the skillful enchanter. And I'll give children to be their princes, and babies will rule over them. In other words, all the adults were going to go into captivity. There were going to be no mighty men, no leaders left. And there was going to be famine and lack of water and thirst. This was all so avoidable. And the people would be oppressed, even one by another, and each one by his neighbour. The child will behave himself proudly against the old man. So there's going to be a complete breakdown when the Babylonians took over Jerusalem. But the point is, they were already oppressing each other. And so he's saying, well, if that's how you behave, then that is what's going to happen to you. You're oppressing each other now, and you're going to do so even more when you're so desperate during the siege and when Jerusalem has been destroyed. And a man will take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you've got clothes, you can be our ruler, and let this ruin be under your command. So even if somebody had some clothes, that meant that they were going to be absolutely the leader, because they actually had some clothes. That's how desperate it was going to get. In that day, should he lift up his voice, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house there is no bread or clothing. No, I don't want to be a ruler of this people. So before, everyone was so eager like they are today to be number one, to be the ruler, to be the leader. But in that day, no one's going to want to be the leader. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Yahweh to provoke the eyes of his glory. Well, I'd have thought there was all sorts of reasons that could be given as to why they were going to be destroyed. But the specific reason is given that because of their words, because of their tongue. Now, we might think that, well, it was just words. I didn't do anything. I just said a few cranky things. But for God, thoughts and words are so important. And his eyes are provoked by that. In other words, God sees and hears every thought and every word that's said. The appearance of their own face witnesses against them, and they declare their sin openly like Sodom did. They don't hide it. Woe to them. They've done evil unto themselves. So when people are judged by God, in reality, they've done it to themselves. They have done evil unto themselves. Tell the righteous that it will be well with him, for they will eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, for it shall be ill with him, for what his hands have done shall be done unto him. Well, that's only going to be true at the last day. Now the wicked appear to prosper. But actually, the bad things they do to other people, deceiving them, being unkind to them, all that is going to come back upon people. But it doesn't in this life. It will only be at the day of judgment. As for my people, even children oppress them and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you are causing you to err and are destroying you. The Lord stands up to contend. He stands up to judge the peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and the princes of it. It is you who have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. So there will come a day when the leaders of Judah at this time are to be judged by God. And he's going to say, you took wealth from poor people and put it in your house. What did you mean that you crushed my people and ground the face of the poor, says the Lord, Yahweh of hosts? Moreover, the Lord said, because the women of Zion are proud and they walk with stretched out eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and they will be stripped naked. In that day the Lord will take away the beauty of their ankle chains and all their crescents, pendants, bracelets, head tires, their sashes, perfume boxes, rings, nose jewels, fancy robes, mantles, shawls, their hand mirrors, fine linen, turbans and veils. And instead of sweet spices, there'll be rottenness. Instead of a girdle, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a robe, a girding of sackcloth. Your men will fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. And her gates will lament and mourn, and she'll be desolate and sit upon the ground. So then God will notice, he does notice, the body language of these proud women who walk with outstretched necks. God sees body language, and he notices it, and he notices every little bit of the jewellery of these proud women, and he's going to judge them for it. Now, this is, well, in a sense, scary, if you haven't got a good conscience with God, but it just shows that God is looking at your thoughts, at your heart, at your words, and even at your body language, how you walk. God is watching. And he doesn't like pride. Now, I would have criticized Judah for a lot of things, like idol worship and stuff like that, well before this kind of thing. But it's these apparently little things that are big things to God, because life is made up of things like that, of your body language, your words, your thoughts. And that is what is so important to God. And that is what it is to be a true Christian, to have your thoughts and your words deeply affected by our experience of God and his great love for us.